Welcome back to Steel and Naz, presented by HedgeBetter. Today is Wednesday, August 6th. We are recording episode 193. Steel, man, it's been, you know, close to a month. What's going on?
Yeah, it's fucked up. Everything is great. It's been summer. Had some cave time.
Good.
Things
good. Have a cape watch.
Yes, you know.
Was on the jet skis last week. Got out to Monomoy. Didn't see any sharks, but it sure did smell like it.
Yeah, go back again. I run it back.
I would rather not. I might get on a forefront about that later.
Yeah, no, vibes are high though. Vibes are high.
A lot on the horizon today. You know, during the summer, this is a yearly thing where we take some time off. Just, you know, baseball gets boring. But now something around here to kind of root about is the Boston Red Sox. I think they've won 17 of their last 23 games, something crazy like that. Really on a tear right now. Yankees, not so much, but they're without Aaron Judge. Roman Anthony signs a contract. There's a lot going on there. We're going to lead the way with Patriots training camp. But before we get there, I just want to throw out two sponsors that, you know, deserve everything that's coming their way. Shout out to the law offices of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street in Quincy, Massachusetts. If you're looking for proper legal representation for, you know, first-time homebuyers, anything like that, he's your guy. I did see that he posted he had some incredible news the other day from Fidelity National Title. They were named as the top growth attorney. That is not surprising at all. Congratulations to Patrick.
Absolutely.
He's out there fighting battles
daily,
day in and day out. You know, he's literally getting 1% better every day. And I don't know how that happens, because he's at 100 right now.
We've been there.
I don't know
how
you go from 100, but he seems to keep doing it. So I got to give a big shout out to him. Also want to give a shout out to our newer sponsor, Drifters. If you're looking for, you know, some proper dining, some nice espresso martinis, they got the beers flowing. Look no further than Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, located at 1464 Hancock Street in the heart of Quincy Center. The heart of it. Just looking at their, you know, their page. A must try this week's special is the clam pizza of your dreams. Little neck clams, Fresno chilies, roasted garlic, parsley, and a grilled lemon. Clam, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm all in for that. I'm all in for that personally.
I mean, you got to let it rip. I don't know if you're a seafood guy. If not, they have other options. I always mention it, the hot honey pepperoni pizza, you know, the wings. Even we went one time, had a nice, you know, salad / pizza night. That's a great spot for it. Quincy Center's really turned the tide there. Had Darius Rucker there last week at Veterans Memorial Stadium. I didn't get the chance to go, but definitely would have pre-gamed at Drifters.
Yeah, there we go. Also, a little quick shout out. There was some like world famous Guinness reviewer.
Oh wow,
best Guinness in America, JJ Foley's. Just to tie in the restaurant and the Foley's.
Shout out to the other Foley's.
yeah, the rest of the family.
I did see that. Yeah, Jeremiah was, you know, front and center. I think he was the bartender there. So shout out to him too. Friends of the program.
Yeah, great, can't guys. Name the guy. I forget who he is. Yeah. Well, if you drink Guinness, you might have heard of him.
Yeah, probably do.
Not my thing.
Speaking of Guinness and, you know, over 21-year-olds, you know, second year stepping in, Patriots training camp, Drake May. I was on the forefront this afternoon with the Washington Commanders in town. You know, their inter-squad, whatever you want to call it, joint practice with Washington today. Went pretty well from what I saw on the forefront. Even there was some tussles. And what about Mike Vrabel breaking things up? I mean, just the epitome of what that guy represents. He went into a pile to break it up, comes out bleeding all over his, you know, cheeks, whatnot. It's so him on brand. It's on brand.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised he wasn't. He might have started it.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
You know what I mean? You fucking kidding me, dude? That guy is awesome.
I mean, what coach in the league? I know this is all try hard and, you know, hardo mentality things.
Football guy, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a football guy. What guy is willing to take a hit from his team? And I get it. There's guys in their 60s and stuff playing. I mean, Dan Quinn's a pretty big guy, but he's got to be in his 60s too, who's the coach of Washington. Oh,
yeah. I mean, Pete Carroll would get snapped like a twig.
Yeah.
Like, what if it was linemen? You know what I mean? Yeah. Chewing gum ain't helping you in that pile, man.
Yeah, I mean, the training camp's well underway. This is at least the third week. Can Drake May take that second-year step? I know we went over the schedule, you know, probably months ago of, you know, the wins and losses. Seems like he's coming, letting the ball out early, improving on things that needs to, you know, keep improving. But I mean, I think they're vocal point of any success in the offense last year is when he's used his legs. So I think that's another thing that you need to look out for. Well, also, you know, staying healthy, because I don't think you have the leeway of, you know, your backup quarterbacks being good this year. Shout out Josh Dobbs. Love me some Dobbs. But there's a lot to look forward to with the Patriots this season as opposed, you know, the last 3-4 seasons. And that starts with number 10 on the center.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, they definitely gave him a lot of help to make that leap. I mean, you got a great offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. You got Stephon Diggs, obviously. Like, I mean, like the offense should no doubt be better than last year. You got your fourth overall pick was an offensive lineman. That should help.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. I mean, he has to pan out too. That's another big
Seemed
deal.
Like he played pretty well today. I mean, I get it. It's just one day of work. You know, the arms have been still an issue, even though I'm on the same front here.
You're much worse than him.
Yeah, I'm not a fourth pick in the draft guy, though. He is.
No, yeah, so no, you would never even be looked at.
All right, water boy. Yeah, fuck off. So
watch the movie.
Yeah, my big question. Yeah, watch the movie. All right, touche. We'll get into Happy Gilmore 2 later, guys. Speaking of Adam Sandler, you know, one of the questions I had here is who makes it in this deep but mid. I mean, think about it. Stephon Diggs, you know, I would say he's like more of a 1B. You know, he's in the ones of ones in the league. But, I mean, he's clearly our number one. But after that, you got a bunch of number twos. DeMario Douglas, probably going to make the team. Kyle Williams, rookie. Seems to be making a lot of flashes out of Washington State. Seems like going to make the team. And then you hear about Kayshon Boutte having a great camp. I think he's a lock into, along with Hollins, who they gave somewhat a good amount of money to, and he's going to be on special teams. So you kind of see one spot here. I mean, I think they're going to keep six, maybe another guy on practice squad, but it seems to me that they're going to keep six. So there's one spot for four players. Those four players right now are Kendrick Bourne, Javon Baker, sixth-round pick from last year who's, you know, flashed pretty well. Jalen Polk, who was a second-round wide receiver last season. And then you have unrestricted free agent signed this year who did great minicamp in Efton Chisholm.
Yeah.
Who do you think out of those four has a good chance of making the team?
I think Polk maybe because of the pick.
Yeah.
Not because he's proven he's better or anything like that, but because of this was our second round pick, we might keep the guy.
Yeah, I think.
Because there's beef with Kendrick Bourne. There clearly has been. I mean, not really with Vrabel himself and this regime, but the Patriots, it's always been kind of shaky with him.
Yeah, he can never stay on the field. And then I think his best year was clearly the year that Mac Jones led the team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of progressively gone down since. That's a guy where, you know, other teams might be, you know, making calls and offers. Could be a trade guy.
Yeah.
Also, you could just be like, okay, we're going to take the vet who's playing just as well as these, you know, rookie guys, second-year guys. And then you look at, you know, a practice squad player, Efton Chisholm, kind of fits that, you know, mold. But then you look at Baker, too. If Baker doesn't make the team, he fits that mold, too. So, you know, This is why I'm glad I'm not in coaching in at least the football stages. That's going to be a tough
game. Yeah, the mini camp, it looked like Chisholm might sneak in there.
Yeah.
But he's cooled off, at least as like a headliner.
Once they put the pads on, I think things got a little real. Seems like a phenomenal talent, though. Who knows?
Yeah, no. You don't know. I mean, and like you said, like we're talking about like the guy who's going to be like the fifth, sixth man in the room. You know what I mean? So
that's why Jalen Polk kind of makes sense, and I do get that. But then in other sense, Mike Vrabel didn't draft this guy. I get Elliott Wolf did. But I think this is Vrabel's decision of who gets this last spot. You know, if you're going to put a gun to my head right now and say, you know, who's making this team out of the four of them, I'm probably going to go with Kendrick Bourne. But that is not saying like anything about the trade thing. If he gets traded, that's one thing, but I just think they're gonna look for upside and depth in that area. And if Jalen Polk can't deliver, he didn't deliver last year, I hope that he breaks out a little bit more. But so far in camp, I mean, who knows? I haven't really seen a play outside of, you know, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But it will be interesting to see who wins that battle come.
Oh, yeah. And that's day by day.
Yeah.
Like it could be all four, like any of the four. That could, like, one of them could absolutely blow it. The other could start, like, get hot, connection with Drake May or something.
And then there's, like, two other receivers in there that, like, no one even knows their names. And I kind of feel, like, good for them getting opportunity, but they have, like, no chance of making the team. Like, no chance.
Have fun on the Jaguars or some shit, you know? They'll get there. Keep at it.
Yeah. I had another question here. Patriots training camp underway Friday night. They're playing the Commanders preseason game. I think Vrabel said everyone's going to be playing who's healthy. I don't expect, like, Stephon Diggs to obviously play. But other than that, who do you think you're looking, you know, forward to most playing?
Campbell. Show me this fucking his fourth overall. Oh, he showed time. Like fucking dude, like are you a shitty short arm fuck? Like, are you a left tackle?
Can you get to the spot?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that's like and I'm not saying that as in like this is like I'm gonna fucking judge him.
No,
on
no,
this
but
game,
it's the first
but
chance.
Like I would like he's gonna be against an NFL defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And like what does he do?
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. I saw Morgan.
And if he gets torched the first couple of times, it's fine.
Whatever.
It's the first preseason week one. Preseason week one.
Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? That's what they're gonna determine.
Yeah, exactly.
He's probably gonna start out as a tackle and see where it goes from there.
But it's good to see him against live action.
Yeah, they asked veteran Morgan Moses about his arms last week, and Morgan Moses said as long as you get to the spot. So I take pride in you know get to the spot with your feet. Arms will come later. That's a half class full mentality, which I do like. I think, if I'm going to go on the other side of people to look out for Friday, Christian Barmore didn't play all year last year, had blood clots, seems to be fairly healthy coming into this season. That's a guy who has a huge ceiling. I mean,
absolutely.
He got a contract with his team, and I don't even think he played his best football. I think this guy is, not just Pro Bowl, but all pro caliber talent. I'm excited to see that, I think he could have a bigger year than Milton Williams. Milton Williams has got paid.
He could.
Yeah, because Milton Williams, he played on a team that had a bunch of guys. So, he's the guy. And we'll see how that goes.
And where he's such the guy and we don't have all the guys they had. Like, he's fucking massive. So, he's going to get double teamed a lot on our defense.
Yeah.
Like he's the guy they're, trying to stop on our defense. So, in that way, Barmore, Keon White. Harold Landry, if he can come off the side. I mean, he had 12 sacks like 3 years ago for Vrabel.
Yeah. Even the linebackers, Spillane, I heard, is looking pretty good. Their secondary is going to be great as long as everyone's healthy. I mean, that's the name of the football, staying healthy. Who's going to be healthy by game 17? What's the record going to be by game 17? What is a successful season for the Patriots this year?
Due to the schedule, I'd say above 500.
Yeah, I think eight, 9 win team. I think
something like that. Nothing like 500 above.
Yeah,
shooting like for the stars, kinda.
I think anything below 7, and you're like, this was a bad season.
Yeah,
anything under 7's a bad season. Obviously, we would like Drake May to take the second step, and I think that plays a lot into how you're gonna be this year, but. If he doesn't play well, a lot of it is going to go towards the offensive line. And I think that remains to be the question of this team. Last year, they couldn't stop a cold front. They couldn't do anything. Now they seem like they got a little better with, Morgan Moses, who's a veteran. We'll see how much he can stay on the field. Cole Strange is going to be a comeback year where, he's not going to be, I don't think, the starter on day one, but he's going to get a chance playing guard. Michael Wenu, who's been the leader of this offensive line, see if he can take another step forward. And then to your point of Will Campbell, can he be the number 4 overall pick that we hopefully expect him to be? I think those are the biggest questions coming out of camp, the offensive line.
Also, another very excited to see is Henderson out of the backfield.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited to see that.
He seems like he's going to be different.
I didn't really get into that just because that's in my head, not a question mark.
No, yeah.
He's just going to be awesome. I'm extremely confident.
If Stevenson fumbles, he's never going to play.
No, I don't think so.
I think Stevenson's going to start, and they're I mean, that's the thing with football running backs. Unless you have like a Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, they're all going to get their touches. They're going to get plenty of touches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Stevenson, and I mean, and I like Stevenson, but he blew it bad.
Yeah,
like,
big time last year.
Fumbling a lot, man. Yeah. Like, dude, everyone's going to fumble. Like, Saquon Barkley's fumbled. Christian McCaffrey's fumbled. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, dude, he was fumbling once, twice per game.
And I've been hearing Henderson's making some big catches, too.
Yeah, no, so,
backfield.
Ohio State running backs don't just run, man. Yeah. they're running, like, slant routes, like, deep.
Yeah, and some of them go to prison.
It was an 0-1. Fuck him.
No, was it?
Oh, no, I was saying Maurice Claret.
Who's the guy opposite of he got drafted too? Is it Judkins?
Yes. Judkins.
He got arrested.
Yeah. I think Ohio State typical.
He's back though. Yeah.
All about the U.
Yeah, all about the U.
It was in the pass interference.
Yeah, we don't need some NFL buzz. So trading block, Terry McLaurin, you know, requested a trade. We're talking about the Patriots here. Patriots, you know, obviously in the Vegas world, they're already doing the odds of if he leaves, who's he going to go to? And priority number one is the New England Patriots. I think if he was ever, you know, actually on the chopping block, I know a request trade is a lot different from actually the team being like, okay, let's trade him. I think this would be a no-brainer. I'd give them a first-round pick and give them $30 million. I don't know what else they would think about.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
You haven't had a number one. I love Julian Edelman. You know, he was a great.
Oh yeah.
But you really haven't had a number one receiver since Randy Moss.
No, and now you essentially have two.
Yeah.
If you can achieve that, like, I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah. In this point, I think they're similar age, but at this point in their careers, Terry McLaurin is way better than Stephon Diggs. I mean, we'll see how Diggs rebounds back, but that's a guy where, oh my God, we have McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, and then you have the Mario Douglas in the slot. Like, these guys.
They did him so dirty for so many years. He requests this trade now.
Yeah, no.
You know how shitty those teams were when he was on there, like before last year?
But how about this franchise? They finally got their shit together. They got to an NFC title game. Yeah. They switched owners. And now you won't. This guy has been through the thick and the thin of this team. Dude. And now you're not going to. I would say outside of Jaden Daniels, he's your most important player.
At least offense. You can go on defense. But
yeah, I mean, Bobby Wagner's played good ball since being over there. But I would take McLaurin.
Yeah, no. Importancy
wise. And then you have Michael Parsons on the trade block for the Cowboys. Not according to Jerry Jones. He thinks he's just a tactic, which probably makes some sense. I don't think he would make his way to New England, but I think a lot of teams would take him on right now.
Oh, a ton would, but like Jerry Jones, is he going to dude, Jerry Jones is like, dude, you're my superstar. Like, I'm fucking.
Yeah, you won't play all season if you want to go to another
team. Yeah, yeah. Like,
that's the way that's going to go.
Like, Jerry Jones isn't. You don't tell Jerry Jones you want to be traded and he just like sends you where he wants. Like,
no,
he'll
shit
Michael Parsons to fucking
Cleveland. Hello,
yeah,
Cleveland.
Exactly. Cleveland or something. Yeah.
Smells
man.
Like shit here. Shout out to Cleveland. God.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, Micah, if you get traded from the Cowboys, you're not playing in the Super Bowl next year.
No, not going well. The second one, it came out yesterday that smelling salts now illegal in the NFL. Do we like this or no? I mean, it's obvious we
disgusting
don't like it.
Behavior. Yeah, grow up.
And then I had some breaking news coming
salt.
In here. You'll probably know it before we even drop this episode. But Adam Schefter came out. It was actually kind of funny. He said, "Smell this." Teams can no longer provide the smelling salts, but the players can get their own. so that's up Goodell's alley. We're not gonna promote this.
Cut
but
the funding of
no.
Smelling
you're gonna
salt,
get
yeah.
a, you're gonna get a George Kittle sponsored like smelling salt, and it's gonna make $1 million.
Buy it tomorrow.
Yeah, I would. They said Brady used to get a cup of like 7 to 10 and sniff it all out before the game. I'm sure most of them do that, but I mean, that's not surprising with 12 there. But.
No, you see some of them. Yeah, you see some of them, but like some dudes have like some of them fucking.
Yeah.
it's like, man, what is that thing? That is a brick.
makes you wonder what else they're into, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. You need that to get fired up, dude. What's your weekend? Well, like?
Yeah, what do you need to get fired up to watch, I don't know, cinema?
Yeah, right? Off season, huh?
Yeah. I think that's the ball talk this week. I mean, what else can I really throw out there? Jared Wilson, center from the Patriots, took a lot of snaps today over Bradberry. we'll see there. Jason Tatum made an appearance at training camp today. No walking boot.
Love that.
That's great to see. Dapping up Drake May.
Love that.
Boys are rolling. And then, you know, who else is rolling? The team that plays at Fenway Park, the Boston Red Sox. So the last 30 games there, 23-7. What is good about them, outside of their ace starting pitcher, Garrett Crochet, who, you know, is up there for Cy Young with Tarik Skubal there. They've gotten great performances out of Lucas Giolito and Brian Bello recently as their 2-3 guys. Did nothing at the deadline. That's what's bad. Craig Breslow, giant, like, no, small penis, I should say.
Say it like it is.
Yeah, no, he just doesn't know what to do. I don't think he's a very intelligent guy when it comes to basic math and stuff, but I just don't know how he, you know, how do you GM a ball club? I don't think he knows how to do it. This whole Joe Ryan thing pushing, I get that you couldn't get that one guy, but I don't know. We'll see how Dustin May does. And I do like the Steve Matz play out of the bullpen. So that Brendan Bernardino, love him to death. But
yeah,
he literally already has like 60 appearances. What's their 100 games already played?
Yeah, it's a tough way to be for.
But what's good from this team? A lot of, you know, the lineup has been better without Rafael Devers. And I think that is volumes to speak towards how this chemistry, how this team is coming together. Roman Anthony is easily the second, might even be the best hitter in their lineup right now with Alex Bregman's injury. I still might take him. But guy signs an 8-year, $130 million deal today. I'm all over the place right now. But that's great for Red Sox fans. I know he had 6 years of control, but to get him on an 8-year deal, he's 21 years old. He still can get a fat, and I think that those incentives can go up to 230, but I mean, he'll be 28, 29 years old when he gets another contract.
Cool.
Yeah, you don't. As I said, this is more of a public rant. You know, right now they're sitting pretty. They are at 64-51, 3.5 games behind Toronto. Toronto just won. We're recording on Wednesday night. I think they won 22-1. Whoever they played.
It was the Rockies. The Rockies. Don't get not, crazy. Not surprising. Yeah, don't get crazy.
The Red Sox have won 7 in a row. They're playing tonight. They are beat.
Yeah. What's their score right now?
Are they were winning. Oh, they're losing 3-2.
Oh yeah, that's what
they'll find. They'll find a way. They'll find a way. Trevor Story has been, you know, another great piece of this team. He's usually really hot or really cold. He's really hot right now. You know, looking at this box score just from last night, let's bring it up. Why not? Let's get nuts. Duran has, you know, 5-6 home runs in the last couple weeks. I know he's a big 9-10 game hitting streak. Romy Gonzalez, when he gets in the lineup, he kills lefties, absolutely destroys them. I feel bad for the Akala guy the other night. He just can't throw strikes. Imagine throwing 100 miles an hour and you still suck.
It's wild.
It's like, it's maddening. Him and Jordan Hicks, they're both, I mean, at least Jordan Hicks can like get a couple guys out. They DFA'd Akala. That guy I just felt bad for. Felt awful.
Not
for
good.
Him.
Yeah.
Seems like a great guy. Like you can probably go get a beer with him or two, but I just felt.
Don't put him on the mound.
No, he's throwing 100 miles an hour. He couldn't throw a strike, and he was so bad, he had to throw 100 mile an hour fast balls down the middle, and they were just hitting him for home runs.
Oh, you can't. You could, like, dude, they're like, dude, you go back to like 2002, you could just chuck down the middle 100.
Yeah.
They're like, they can hit that now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just like fucking, you can't just seed one down the middle.
No, they
at
all
100.
Throw 100.
Yeah. Like, they'll hit that to the moon.
You're better off throwing like Rich Hill. You're better off throwing like 85.
Junk.
Yeah. And then Sadon Rafaela, clearly, I think he got 8 years, $70 million last year. Clearly been a great pickup. Can play the best center field in the league. Can also play middle infield. He's been sensational. Carlos Navarez, former New York Yankee, playing pretty well this season as a starting catcher over Connor Wong. Wong's in there tonight. I think Navarez is a day-to-day right now with an injury. But so far, I like what I'm seeing. We'll see how long it lasts. Back to my point of Breslow sucking. I don't think they did enough for this team starting pitching wise after the first. I'll give Giolito. I think he went by to where I'm not concerned until I should be concerned again. Bayo's a hit or miss. He leaves a lot of things up, but this back end of the starting rotation, I get you only throw 3 or 4 guys when it comes to the playoffs. We'll see if we even get there either. I get we're 13 up right now, but still a long season left to go. Yankees will get Judge back eventually. How are your Yankees back. Doing? Oh, he's back? Okay.
No, Judge is back. Like,
how long has he been back?
Yesterday, I believe.
Okay, so it's fairly new. All right, so.
Yeah, and then we won today.
Won today. That's all you can worry about, the day at hand. When do the Sox and Yankees play next?
Yeah, you struggle a bit when Aaron Judge goes down. That's fucking...
No, it's understandable.
They're not the Dodgers. When Ohtani goes down, they just have 9 other fucking All-Stars. Like, not, the Yankees do not have that.
Not this week.
Next week?
2 weekends from now, it'll be in New York. No games on Nesson. Fantastic. Dave O'Brien, just the worst play-by-play guy I think I've ever come across. I do like Lou Maloney, though. Good shit. I'm not even going to speak about the all-women's commentary last night. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to the people.
Yeah.
No, they had 3 of them in there. I mean, just let it go.
Was it the Celtics one?
No.
The girl on the far left? I don't even know who she was.
No,
they said, like, Tommy Point, and she was literally like, who's Tommy? That's tough.
No, yeah.
That's research. Yeah, like, come on, be better. And it was like Jackie McMullen, who's crushed it.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
No. She's a killer.
Yeah,
she's
like, and different. The other girl was also a killer.
Yeah.
But that one was just like, I don't know. It was like a fair Celtics game, it felt like.
Yeah, no, it's...
like, just no backstory. I don't know. It was weird.
Too busy. No, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
We support it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we support it. Yeah, for sure. Shout out. The hot team seems to be the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, 20 games over.
That was the one thing when the Blue Jays and, like, people were giving shit about, like, them going over the Yankees and stuff. Like, they weren't just like the Blue Jays were on fire and, like, still are. Like, it wasn't just like the Yankees lost Judge and, like, sucked. Like,
and the
Blue Jays are just crushing it right now.
I mean, let's go to their depth chart right now. Like, there's the Gausman, Bieber, when he comes back, Scherzer, Berrios, and Bassett. That's a great 5-man rotation.
Oh, absolutely. Bassett's been the most underrated pitcher probably like the last like 7 years.
He's been great. I mean, he was great on the A's. I'm sure he's bounced around a little bit more. Kirk's, you know, I think he was all-star. Guerrero, obviously their top player. They have Bo Bichette, Varsho, who has played just as good in seventh field as Seydon Rafaela.
And George Springer has like kind of been George Springer this year.
Yeah.
Like of old. Like
so,
not just.
So let's see his stats this year. He's got 18 homers. Yeah. He's clearly living large there. I did see. I mean,
he was falling off pretty hard.
Yeah, that was the first time over the weekend that the Red Sox swept the Astros since 2013. That's a long time.
That is.
I was surprised how much they still stay intact. Like with everyone gone, like Christian Walker, good first baseman. You go down the list here. They got Correa at the deadline, and then it kind of starts to drop off. Like it, obviously. Before you had, I mean, Altuve plays there too when he's healthy. But you miss Bregman. You miss the guy who went to the Tucker guy.
Kyle Tucker.
And a couple other guys thrown in. So that's a team. They always get hot at the right time. So they're still the division leaders by 6 games. So they're 2.5 games actually, Mariners. I'm looking at the Tigers here.
Yeah, and Minnesota Twins, fuck off.
Yeah. They literally
giving him back Correa, you bastards.
They literally said they got rid of 45% of their everyday 25 at the deadline. Including your guy, is it Ryan Bader, the center fielder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why that's why they haven't beat the Yankees in a playoff fucking series since like 94.
Update on the Colorado Rockies record, 30-84. We talk about them all the time. 4-in-a-row loss. Try to get back in the win column tomorrow. What was the final of the game today? 20-1.
Looking good.
Looking good.
Hope you made some moves at the trade deadline.
Yeah, first pick in the draft.
You know, the A's like made some moves and stuff like that, like traded away to like try and get better. Like I don't even think the Rockies did anything.
No, they were like
they're so bad. They don't even have like teams weren't even like give me a bit like
you got a player from them.
McMahon. Yes,
McMahon.
Ryan McMahon.
Is he any good?
Yes, he was. He can be like anywhere type of guy.
I saw him batting. He had a nice lefty swing.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
Yeah, solid.
He's got to get a lefty.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh my god, we got fucking Ryan McMahon, but
I mean,
we didn't lose anything for him either.
I knew coming out of the break that like, all right, so the Sox first 3 series were the. Who was it? The Phillies. It was the Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers. And even taking 1 out of 3 from the Cubs and Phillies, I thought was a win. Mm. And then you fuck around and win 2 or 3 against the Dodgers. I mean, that's 500 record, right? That's good math.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's...
Maybe.
4 and 5, either way. Same shit. Good enough.
Close.
But after that, they've been on a tear. So I think... So that's 5 losses. I think they only have 6 or 7 since the All-Star break. So...
You know what they were talking about the other day that I was like thinking about it, and I was like, I've never thought about this before, but it's true. It's like over the last like 12 seasons in the MLB, like the like third like most consistent team in the MLB has been the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, they're just always flirting at the top of the Central.
I thought about it, and yeah. I was like, fuck, that's so true. Yeah. they always lose in like the first or second round. Like they're done. Never there. But I'm like, the Brewers have been in the playoffs every year for like the fucking past. Like,
yeah, they're the best record in baseball.
Oh no, this year, yeah, they're like exceptionally good this year. But like, I was like, they have been good for a while.
And they stole our guy Quinn Priester, who's had a year for them. He was the Red Sox, I think, just last year, right? Yeah, and we let him go for nothing.
Do not act like you were mad they got rid of Quinn Priester last year.
I was pissed.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
I was pissed. Fuck. That's good on the baseball front. Celtics news actually in August, which is kind of crazy. We did talk about how Tatum, you know, went to Pat's camp today with no boot. I think that's a success. But the Celtics, after receiving George's Niang, from, I don't even know where he came from nowadays.
Might have been the Hawks.
Yeah, something like that. They traded him to the Jazz and 2 future second-round picks, more to, I think, clear that second apron cap space for R.J. Lewis Jr., who, Big East Player of the Year from St. John's, used to play at UMass as well. I did look at a couple of his highlight tapes. Seems like he was a loose cannon for Rick Pitino. That's why he went so low. Interesting to see. I mean, you got him for basically nothing.
Oh, I love it, dude.
Yeah, even George Niang was calling himself a minivan.
Yeah, dude, the upside of that trade is extremely high. The downside is absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Like, you knew you were going to lose Holiday and Porzingis because it was going to be the money tax. And then you signed this guy yesterday, Chris
Boucher. Straight out of Waterboy.
Body Boucher, shout out. 32-year-old veteran. I didn't really know much about him, but, you know, averaging 10 points a game could be a potential center battle between him and Keita. You know, Xavier Tillman.
Height's different, stats-wise. Yeah. Literally, George's Niang.
Yeah, George's
Niang. Same numbers. It's like same numbers.
Oh, wow.
So, like, we got George's Niang and a possibly, like, rookie.
Oh, wow.
So, fuck it.
Yeah, another guy in the rotation.
Brad Stevens again nailed it.
Always finds a way. It should be interesting, like, what the exact expectations are going into this year. Because even, like, the promising, like, I get that Tatum's a long way from even playing basketball. But these guys come back quicker than you think. If it's not a lost season and he just, like, comes in, who knows? If Jaylen Brown can take his game to the next level. If a lot of these guys, if Peyton Pritchard can play, I mean, this is a great opportunity for, like, if you think last year was a great opportunity for Peyton Pritchard, wait for this season. He's going to be a starting point guard in the NBA. He's going to have a chance if he plays like I know what he's capable of playing to possibly make an All-Star team.
Oh, yeah. Last year was obviously like run it back or bust. Yeah. Like, that's not this, but this is not like a lost season.
No, not at all.
Like, if Giannis goes down in training camp, there's like the Bucks should not like have a season. No. The Bucks should just go home and pack it in. But like we should still be like potentially like a top 4 seed.
Easily.
It's definitely most likely like not 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But like 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there.
But like, who's 1 or 2? You're saying maybe Cleveland, Indiana, Knicks?
Teams, exactly.
I think all those teams, I mean, I get we lost to the Knicks last year, and I get the Pacers went to the finals, almost won. But most of those teams are trash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
And I mean, and the Pacers lost their fucking, like.
Miles Turner,
big piece. And, well, they also lost Haliburton, same injury.
Oh, yeah,
Tatum.
Yeah. So
and
he's
then,
out.
Like, he is. They're absolute floor general. Like, you see their, like, spreads. Like, when he scores 20 points, they're, like, undefeated.
You can make an argument they're worse off than we are right now.
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think Cleveland, I mean, is going to return with a lot of vengeance. I mean, they just completely fucking blew it.
I think they should be the like preseason front runner.
Yeah, they should. Donovan Mitchell is one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, 100%.
Most underrated.
They're not injured.
Yeah.
They have a team, whereas like the Bucks just have Giannis, as we just like went over. And like, unless one of the younger teams takes a step, like the
Orlando,
Magic or the Hawks or something.
Detroit. Yeah. They've all, I mean, Cade Cunningham, I'm just waiting for him to take another step where it's like, okay, I don't really don't want to play that team.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the playoffs last year, Apollo, dude, if he takes another step. Yeah. Fucking,
Well, he gets more guys around. He needs another guy. Yeah. So you need at least another guy to play. That's why, like, Derek White could so much opportunity for these guys. I talk about Peyton Pritchard. Derek White, this could be 1A, 1B. Yeah, I mean, the way he's played over the past couple of years, it's been like he is the guy around the scenes that makes it happen. But this year, he's going to have to be one of, if not the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I think that's a challenge, but it's also a great opportunity.
100%.
Yeah. I think that's enough for the Celtics. I mean, we kind of talked everything we got over there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Shout out Brad and Danny Ainge for working on Tuesday, by the way. Not everyone does that.
Yeah. And shout out the Bruins for like existing.
Yeah.
Nothing good on their front.
Yeah. Nothing good on their front.
But they're out there. We want the cup.
Yeah. Now we're going to throw it off to five questions presented by the offices of Patrick J. Foley. I did, you know, I usually come up with these myself, but I've been flirting with the chat GBT recently. I did kind of switch these around a little bit, but they I'm just going to read them as it goes. So question number one, if you had to swap lives with any celebrity for 24 hours, who would it be and what's the first totally irresponsible thing you do with their money?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
There's so many celebrities.
I just like, I don't know what I would, I don't know the second part, but I think I would just like be a president for the day.
I'm kind of thinking Musk, because I could literally just send myself to like Mars.
Yeah.
Like Jesus. I would have the full capability to like just be like, I'm going the fucking moon. Like you can't stop, like it's literally my spaceship. I'm going to go to the moon.
That's fair.
Might take longer than 24 hours, so then I revert back, and he's stuck up there, and now I'm back in my body. This could all work perfectly.
How about?
I don't know how that works scientifically.
How about like the opposite way, like be, just say like Billy Cundiff was still in the league. You just be him for a day, on game day, and you just fucking hit fucking seven doinks.
He was not on the list. Wow, shout out him for being brought up today.
I was just thinking of like things that just really ruin people's lives, and then when they wake up in the morning, it's like, what happened?
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. That'd be a very tough one. Just like be Steve Bartman and just fucking catch that fucking ball.
Yeah, catch that ball. Get chucked out of Wrigley's. I do like that. Yeah, I mean, we could go on that all day. I could be Bill Buckner making the fucking play.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah, if you let Moises Alou catch it.
Yeah.
What happens then?
I mean, on your case, Dave Roberts just don't steal the base.
Yeah, Dave Roberts. Yeah, if I just fucking slide tackle him, it's fucking, ugh.
All right, question number two. What's one food that everyone seems to love but you secretly think is trash? I'm going to go yogurt here. I'm like, I think yogurt's very overrated. I think people mix that in with their breakfast. You know, I think that's pretty bland answer, I would say, but I don't know. Fuck yogurt, dude.
Yeah, you know, fuck yogurt. I'm gonna switch it if it's all right to a drink. And if you're a Bloody Mary drinker, you are a fucking asshole.
You nailed that one.
You are a those are disgusting.
They're gross. I don't like you.
Fucking vile.
You have different taste buds. I'll never forget when I worked at a news station, and we went out to brunch afterwards, and said, I had to stay a little bit late, but when I got there after, they say, like, oh, we ordered you a Bloody Mary. And it's like my first time going out to brunch with all these newscasters and stuff. And I'm like, I have to drink this.
Yeah.
So it took me the entire time I sat down and drank it, because it's just not good.
No.
You're either a bloody guy or you're not.
You fucking, yeah, you added Hot, you added a celery stick to your drink to make it better. You fucking asshole. Like, that is the worst drink on the planet.
Just mix in some Aquafinas.
And this is a straight Jameson shooter guy. Yeah. I think you're vile.
Get some mimosas going. Even the espresso martinis at 11 a.m. aren't the worst thing.
No, and they're fire. Yeah. And mimosas, fire.
Yeah. Just, there's a lot of different alternatives.
Tomato juice and vodka, trash.
Fuck off.
Ugh, it's disgusting. Bad.
Number three. Which athlete looks like they'd be awful to sit next to on a plane and why?
I'm going to go Clay Buchholz.
Yeah, just because he sucks.
Because you would have no idea it's a pro athlete and you'd be like, I just paid first class and now this fucking crackhead's like beside. I'd be like, I got stuck beside this guy. Because you could just go like the giant guy. I get that.
Like Shaq.
Yeah, but that's like, that's obvious. Like obviously fucking... You know, a sumo wrestler I don't want to be beside on fucking an airplane.
Yeah, if you want to go like down and dirty, I'll go like John.
Like that guy
John,
smells,
John
you know
Rocker.
What I mean?
Like just
that
like
would,
an
so,
asshole.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
You know, getting in a
giant
fight.
Piece of shit.
So he wants to get up. That's my biggest pet peeve on a flight.
Ron on test.
I mean, he's met a world peace now, so maybe like 20 years ago.
I'm not saying Ron on test.
John Rock. David Wells, just because he would probably sweat everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, but he'd also, you'd be crushing if he was sitting. But
I would say like Joey Chestnut, but I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, true.
No, he's not like pounding food at all times. Like he kills it, but
he could be.
Yeah, he could be. You're right.
Like, did you think fucking, I don't know, like an airplane fucking bag of peanuts? How many of those do you think he can take down on that flight?
75. Like on the dot.
Like, fucking yeah, it's everywhere. That could be one actually.
Athlete who it would be awful to sit next to on a plane. I'm thinking other guys too who would not be a fit. Draymond Green, that would probably suck.
Yeah, that would suck. That would suck.
Who is a shitty hockey guy that I want dead? Like Sean Avery, he'd probably be kind of awesome, I bet. Yeah, I mean, like, even though he sucks because he like ruined Mark Savard's career and a lot of other people's, like,
yeah,
probably good, like.
Good, no, probably good rips talk. It. Yeah, like Tom Wilson probably rips
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Especially if you don't bring up that like you're a Bruins fan. I don't know. Like,
now, if we switch this question around, Alex Ovechkin, one and done.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
Vodka's all day. Stumbling off the plane wherever we went to.
I'd be all in. Tiger Woods would be a good one. If you really want to let it rip.
Yeah, true.
Probably not, though. He'd probably just get private. So I'm kind of backlash from that one. All right, question number four. All-time question here. Food. Pizza with no cheese or burgers with no bun? I think
burgers with no bun.
You'd rather? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather.
Yeah, you'd rather that? Yeah.
Because that's just like ground beef.
Yeah, then it's just ground beef. Pizza with no cheese is just bread.
Yeah, it's not pizza.
And like sauce. I think that... All right, so that's easier than you thought.
Yeah. I think that's...
Because there's like lettuce burgers now.
Like cheese is a great part of pizza.
Yeah.
The bun's the worst part of the burger.
Worse.
Yeah.
No,
it's the worst.
Get some pretty good buns, dude.
But burgers and sauce and everything, like burgers the worst part. I mean, the bun is the worst part. I'm not saying buns are
hot take.
Bad.
That's a hot take.
I'm not saying buns are bad. I don't eat my burgers without buns frequently.
You're right, though, because it's all good.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom of the totem.
Yeah, that's the one that's got to go.
What couldn't you live without? All right, what couldn't you live without a burger? Would you rather no bun or no cheese? Just straight up hamburger.
You need the cheese on the burger.
I think.
You need the cheese on the burger.
I think I'm going. I'll take the burger, the bun.
Really?
Because I mean,
you're
we've
a
all
buns guy.
We've all had a hamburger. I think hamburger, like you mix one in, it's not gonna kill you.
No, but it's so much better with the cheese. Like the cheese makes it better than the bun.
See, that's a great debate. That's way better than the pizza with no cheese. I think
pizza with
agree.
No cheese get fucked.
Yeah, get fucked. But burgers with no bun or burgers with no cheese? That's the better question there.
Yeah.
Number five and last question here presented by the law office is Patrick J. Foley. You get to replace any coach in sports with a celebrity who has zero coaching experience. Who's your pick and what chaos would they bring?
I would pick Kurt Russell to replace Aaron Boone, and they would win every World Series for the rest of my life. It would be the, you know, I would guarantee victory for the rest of time.
When I was reading the questions, I knew you going Kurt Russell.
Have to. Get Aaron Boone so fucking far away from me.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell, escape from New York and LA. He took out the thing. You think he can't beat the fucking Dodgers in the World Series? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, John Cena, if he replaced Gerard Mayo last year, probably would have been the same record. And he would have just been
John Cena
awesome.
Gets you a win. John Cena gets you a don't say that. Do not say that. John Cena definitely gets you a win.
I didn't watch SummerSlam, so I missed it.
The Rock would also be a great pick.
Yeah. Trying to think of like actors or like replace a coach in sports with a celebrity with zero coaching experience. I mean,
if you threw McConaughey in at Texas, I think they win it all.
Yeah, no, they would win it all. I think they win it all. What chaos would they bring? I mean, Will Ferrell's an easy one. You've seen that like on display, kicking and screaming all time, you know, family movie. Just thinking of like celebrities outside the box. How about like Tim Robinson taking over for the Detroit Lions?
Oh, so that could win games.
I don't know if you win games, but it'd be fucking funny. That would bring fucking chaos.
Oh, what?
Actors, actresses, just like dickheads of the world. I'm thinking like presidents too. Like you throw in Joe Biden to like take over the Red Sox ownership, it's probably the same thing.
no, that's Boone. Same thing. Yeah. Yankees manager and Joe, it's same fucking thing.
Yeah. That's all the questions I hear. Do you have any more to throw in there with that chaos, what they bring?
No, that'd be a good one. Roger Clemens at Texas also.
Ooh, that's a good one. You'd Texas get some chaos. Baseball. There we go. Speaking of chaos, I watched Happy Gilmore 2 over the past couple weeks. I think I watched it the first night it was out. I don't know. I just loved the first one. Wanted to see
it. Classic.
The first one was a classic for real. The too excessive cameo thing, I don't think that was that much of a bad thing because they did bring in golfers. They had like a couple random actors that kind of fit the plot. The thing that got me the worst, and you said, so spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Happy Gilmore 2, stop listening right now. And Steele, you're cool with this, right?
Yeah.
They kill off the wife like 3 minutes into the movie. It drove me bananas. I was like, you're going to... So her name's Julie Bowen. She plays Virginia Vennett, who like they had big chemistry in the first one. Whatever. Oh, yeah. It's just like a comp, like funny comedy. But like he is saying like... this dramatization of like everything's going well and then he just clocks her with a golf ball and she dies. I hated it because they promoted the whole damn movie with her attached to it.
That's dude.
And she had like
marketing.
She had like 9 other lines of just like past stuff. That's what I thought the movie did really well doing. They brought like everything back. Like Eminem played the guy who said Jackass's brother, so that, he would do
did
that.
Did see that part? Yeah.
Shooter was in a mental. Insane asylum to start the movie. I thought that what they did with his character was genius. Then he ends up being friends with Sandler there, Happy Gilmore. The only part I didn't like, the last 20 minutes could have done without, they kind of did like a live, you know how live in the PGA are nowadays. They kind of did that with some different golf brand and like the PGA, whatever Happy Gilmore's in, and they play them at, and there's some futuristic thing. And solid movie. I mean, I liked it. Don't go in there thinking that this is going to be the greatest movie ever. Go in there for the laughs and the good times.
Look at the original Happy Gilmore, obviously a classic. Like that wasn't supposed to be like a box office smash or
And they were
watched like 40 years later. You know what I mean? That's not what it was like supposed to be, but it was.
They were supposed to have Chubbs in it, but obviously he's dead in the first one. But he passed away, so they couldn't fit. So they, you know, Breaking Bad, you know, like the, you seen Breaking Bad? The bodyguard, the black guy bodyguard.
Carl Hugh.
Yeah, he plays his son.
Fuck, that's awesome.
So it's kind of hilarious. He just like works at a mini putt-putt whatever, and Happy picks him up one day. I don't know, it's funny. But I would go see it on your, you know, Netflix platforms. I do suggest it. Don't flatter yourself. It's not the greatest thing ever, but it's definitely not the worst. I was there for the good times. I kind of want to rewatch a movie for a second time, but I got to wait at least like a month. I feel like you got to wait up.
No, you gain nothing out of like a back-to-back
rewatch. Yeah, because I obviously watched it too quick. I watched it like, I think it came out that Friday. I watched it like that Friday night, like eating dinner or something. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
Bad Bunny kills it. I mean, you know, Bad Bunny is.
No, he kills it. In most things, he's like in.
He crushed it. He was like, he played the caddy. He was great. And then that, actually, since, all right, we're still on spoilers. You know, like how if you're a PGA, if you follow golf, so you know in the first one, he like starts shaking his caddy, whatever, when they win and when he loses.
Yeah.
You know, the blonde guy. So the play has been, this guy, Will Zalatoris, looks identical to that guy.
Oh.
So when they had Happy Gilmore at a PGA event playing, and they were playing in the same group, and he ends up doing that to Will Zalatoris, which I found it was great. And then, of course, Scottie Scheffler ends up in jail. He said, "Oh, not again."
Like, that was nice, nice.
So yeah, I it was a good watch. I liked it.
Nice.
And that's all kind of I had here. What else you got, Steele? We had Patriots, Red Sox, Yankees, Celtics. Five questions. Eat anywhere good lately? Watch anything good?
I haven't seen too much recently. Down the Cape, hit all the spots. Little Ooh. Captain Parker's action.
Ooh.
Skippers.
Skippers, yep.
Another great spot.
Little Squire.
Hit the Squire.
You gotta hit the Squire.
Gotta hit the Squire.
How about the candy store? Still a great candy store.
Did not hit the candy store. Squire was like, "Can we get some Chatham oysters?" And the guy was like, "Once you fucking say it right." I was like, we're in trouble.
Oh, God. That's tough. Before we close it, episode 193 in the books, we'll probably, you know, we'll be here as football season arises. I think we have a nice guest coming up in a couple weeks. Episode 193, getting close to that 200 mark, guys. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure that'll be during football season. I'm not going to do with the math or with the dates and stuff right now, but we'll get there. Gave Law Offices of Patrick J. Foley plenty of shout outs here. 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Mass. Looking for legal proper representation for first time home buyers. Look no further than him. Drifter's Kitchen and Bar. They put on a show at 1464 Hancock Street, heart of Quincy Center there. I'm getting there for a drink. I think it's going to be a great fall, winter, because I think just opened like, where it opened, like the beginning of the year. I don't think
it's not open too long.
I don't think it's really had a football season yet. So I think there'll be a nice Sunday football watch place. So stay tuned for that. We got to get in there as a squad with Anton Magic, see when they show up, try to get a lunch in there, see what they're, I know what they're about, but see some more, get some good content over there. So that'd be great.
Yes.
All right, 193 in the books. We'll see you next time.
Peace. Yep.